This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looking at weather. That's the big deal. Winter has arrived, hasn't it? I'm kind of looking forward to a warming trend. But anyway, right now down on Island in Galveston, it's 45. It feels like 43. Today, they're calling for windy conditions with periods of rain, high of 56. Winds will be east 25 to 35 miles per hour. That chance of rain is 100%. I think most of that will be in the afternoon. But they're calling for rainfall amounts around a half an inch, and winds could gust up to about 40 miles per hour. But tonight be the real rainmaker. Looks like real windy with steady rain. Rain could be heavy at times this evening with a low of 41, north-northeast winds 25 to 35, and 100% chance of rain. 1 to 2 inches of rain is expected locally. And then for tomorrow, cloudy with gusty winds, high of 47. Winds will be north-northwest at 20 to 30. Some gusts could occasionally hit 40 miles per hour or better. So pretty strong. Cut adrift in that. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a low this morning at 6:12 a.m. It's a negative 0.8, and then a high at 3:11 p.m., and it's a 1.2, 7:15 a.m. is sunrise, and 5:39 p.m. is sunset. Our moon phase right now, 69%, moving towards our next full moon. Right now I'm looking at current conditions, and looks like the buoy offshore is showing air temp out there is 49 degrees, water temp 60, east winds 20 to 22, and wave heights are like 2.5 feet with a period of 4 seconds. And then the Galveston Channel showing 57-degree water there with an east wind at 6 to 11. Eagle Point's 48 degrees with an east-northeast wind at 13 to 14. And Morgan's Point, water temp there is 54 degrees with a northeast wind at 7 to 9 miles per hour. So we got a good 20-degree drop in these water temps with this system. But looking around, the old rollover side showing a 13-mile-an-hour northeast wind. It's a good duck hunting wind this morning and conditions. Looks like San Luis Pass is about 13, so pretty much about the same all through. But they are calling for those winds to increase as weather approaches from the southwest, all that low pressure coming this way with rainfall in it. So here we go. Winter pattern. Here we go. All right. Well, let's go over and talk to Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's up to. Bill, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How in the world are you, man?
There'll be no fishing in Lake Mudhole.
Lake Mudhole.
Or tomorrow.
Oh, well, we can talk about it.
We can talk about it. Hey,
if you had to go today with a strong northeast wind and water conditions good where you need to be, where would you probably start out today?
Oh, I'd start out at Coffee Ground Cove.
I knew you were going to say that for some reason. I just hit me right between the eyes.
You know, they've got this app that you can go to, and it's color-coded, and it shows, you know, various bays and how fresh the water is.
Right.
It's color-coded. Blue and bluer. And,
right.
You know, and that that would make you not want to go fishing. The best thing to do is go fishing, pick up the water in your hand and taste of it, and if you can taste any salt, fishing.
Yes.
And then look for the clearest water you can find, because that app would make you not want to go fishing. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, you just...
Yeah, it's a little extreme on the runoff, you know. I've noticed that in my bay. It'll show purple, and you actually have a little bit of salt in it. That purple's just pure fresh.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I don't know how good that thing is, but you just have to know what you can do and where the fish ought to be.
I'm looking for it on my phone and can't find it. I think I deleted it because it was never very accurate.
Well,
plus, it gave me a negative outlook.
Yeah. Well, see, people call me and tell me this. I don't.
Yeah.
I never had it on my phone. I don't even.
I had it for Sabine. I had it for Galveston Bay.
I go look for clearer water and go fishing.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of times, Bill, when you get that fresh water, you know, kind of on top like that thing showing, and then you get a predominant wind coming off a particular shoreline for a couple of days, it'll actually blow that fresh, ugly water off the shoreline and leave green, clear water behind it. You know, we used to fish those clear strips big time over here, and, boy, those fish would be stacked in there like cordwood.
That's right. They have to be somewhere. You know, and you need to go by the wind. That's what you need to go by.
That's it. Play the wind, man.
If the wind is blowing offshore, go fish that side.
I mean, that's all you got. You got to, you know, just go with what you know and fish it out. I mean, that's the only place you can fish anyway. You might as well try it and make the most of it.
Hey, don't try to fish the whole bay. You plan your fishing trip by which side the wind's going to come off of. You know, I guess in South Texas, where they've got really beautiful, clear water, you might want to fish the dirtier water, but not here.
Not here. You look for the better water.
You want to fish the, I'm not saying you can't go over on the windward side and catch a redfish or two or maybe a trout or two, but why fight the waves?
Yeah, why fight it when it's, you know, northeast at 25? Why bother? You know?
That's right. And I've caught a lot of fish in northeast at 25. You just have to go find the lee side of the lake where the wind's coming from and fish there. And tuck your boat in against the bank and fish out. That's all there is to it. You know, if you get a northwest wind blowing in like that last front, just don't go to the Louisiana side.
Right.
It's just going to be hurled out. Not that you can't catch some redfish, but it's going to drop
the
water level.
The Texas side is blowing right into that.
Yeah, it's going to drop the water level everywhere. And you need to stay away from it because it's going to back those trout out. It's going to drop the water level, dirty up the water all along the Louisiana shoreline. Yeah, those fish are just going to move off out there and scatter and sulk. That's all. And you might be able to catch redfish, like I say. They're not affected by it quite as bad. But, you know, when your water temperature gets down below about 40, you might as well just, you know, you got to fish channels. You got to fish deeper water. Because they're going to go off out there as deep as they can go and hook, you know, just hunker down and lay in the mud. So that's what you got to plan on. Just fish where you need to go.
Yeah.
And that's on the leeward side of the lake.
That's it. Don't make it too complicated. Just do it. Fish it out.
No, don't beat your boat up. don't back all your screws out. Have to tighten up the rub rail. And, you know, that's just way too hard. Oh, man. You know, I see people all the time. Like, well, I'm gonna put in at the causeway, or I'm gonna put in here, or I'm gonna put in there. And if the wind's coming in on it, why do you want to beat yourself to death? Yeah. There's launching ramps all around. You know, just do yourself a favor. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat up your boat.
And just and this time of year, these temperatures, it's a lot more comfortable in the cab of that truck.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Pull to where you're going to fish, you know, pull close to where you're going to fish.
Yeah, why run into the teeth of an east, northeast wind
exactly.
for 20 miles before you go fishing? If you got a launching ramp over there on that side, drive up to it.
Like exactly.
Way more comfortable in the truck.
Yes, it is.
You know, a lot of times it can be hammering over on the Texas side. The east wind will be blowing, and I just do not fight that. Yeah, 20-mile-an-hour east wind, you know it's going to be raking that shoreline all the way to Blue Buck Point. And there's no reason to fight that. Just drive on around to Johnson Bayou or,
put in,
you know,
come
go
out
to
the
Bridge
back
City.
Back there.
Yeah, go to Bridge City and
Cow Bayou or somewhere.
Cow Bayou, Adams Bayou, yeah. And pop out the back, and you'll find that a lot of times the flags will be popping on the east or the west side of the lake with an east wind like that or a northeast wind, and you drive around to those ramps that are on that leeward side, and it'll be calm over there.
Yeah.
And you'll have 2 or 3 hours of good fishing before the sun gets up too high. And, you know, you can just really make some good catches. You just have to play it the way it hands it to you. That's the way you got to play it. Don't be hard-headed.
No. And just, you know, have good gear to wear while you're fishing in this kind of weather. You know, I don't prefer to fish in this kind of weather anymore, but I used to a lot, but I always had good gear that made it comfortable.
But, that's the whole thing.
Once you get cold and miserable out there, you can't function properly. You can't fish right.
No.
Especially if you get wet.
Oh, no. No, this is, and if you get brain fog, it just gets to you after a while.
Yeah, you start thinking about that heated cab of the truck and that nice warm ride home and a warm house. It's been cold and wet all day.
Yeah, I'd prefer to go duck hunting and hunt early and get off the water. You know, and I like you say, this is going to be a good duck hunting day.
Yeah, this is that's a good wind and good conditions for duck hunting.
Yes,
unless it rains too hard. You know, if it starts raining hard, then they'll sit down. They won't fly.
Yeah, they get wet too, finally.
Yeah, they do. They lay up like we do. All right, Bill, let me do this break. I'll be right back at you, brother. Hang on a second.
All right.
Be
right here.
Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hogs, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all, and don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So you can bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget, so if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40, and they can host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. You can book your adventure today. Just go to rustyhookranch.com. That's rustyhookranch.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we're back.
Well, I'm here with you.
During that break, I watched Bill Dance catch a big old rubber lip bull red. He's fishing with old Mike Frenette over there in Venice. And, man, he's getting old. Like us.
Yeah.
We're all getting old.
Yeah.
Now he's got another one on. Mike's going to kill him on these bull reds.
I think I just as soon pass. I've caught so many of those things. Oh, man.
I know.
But it's still exciting. It's exciting for folks that have never caught it.
Yeah, know? it's a good experience for people that have never popped a 40-plus inch one, and especially on light tackle. Whole different game with light tackle in deeper water than, you know, with the big old stiff rod and 40-pound line.
Yeah.
Whole different game.
It is a big difference.
Yes.
I used to surf fish a lot. And when we had piers down on the bottom of the peninsula, oh, man, we caught sharks, redfish, stingrays. Stingrays as big as the hood of a truck.
Oh, yeah.
I was astounded at the size of those things.
You know, that was always a big deal in September and October. A lot of old hands around where I grew up, they'd all go down to the beachfront, Bolivar beachfront, and bull redfish.
Oh, yeah. I had custom rods anywhere from 11 feet down to 10.
Right.
Custom wrapped them myself. Oh, man, that was, you could get some good equipment back in those days.
Yeah. Man, I wouldn't even know where to go to look for stuff like that these days.
No, I don't either. And my son's got my two surf rods that survived. I had three of them at one time. And I had a brown-colored 11-foot Fenwick and a yellow Fenwick and a Harrington or a Harnell, we used to call them, 10-foot
right.
Harnell. Boy, that was a piece of work. I was strong enough to actually cast those things, but now I wouldn't even be able to.
You'd throw both your shoulders out of joint slinging those things, man.
That might be where I wore my shoulders out.
Might be.
I know that was a contributing factor, but, man, I'm telling you, that was some good fun.
Man, you know, I guess I'm just blessed, man. My eyesight's still good. My shoulders, my elbows, my wrist, and my hands. Look, you know, my hands get kind of, you know, kind of stiff where, you know, when you make a fist. But after about four or five good bites and reeling in a few fish, they loosen up real nicely.
But
I know about arthritic hands. That, you know, that took my mother down, you know, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. She'd fish one day and then have to lay up for three or four before she could go again. But they used to catch so many fish back then, that'd wear a young person out handling all those fish.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about how many fish you've had in your hands in your career. Just taking them off the hook. Not to mention setting a hook in them and reeling them in.
Yeah, yeah. If somebody asked me how many fish I've filleted in my 25 years of this professional guide, I said, oh, God, I can't even imagine.
No.
Thousands and thousands.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, look back in the day when we didn't have limits, and then the limits were 20 and 10. Just look how many fish you cleaned a day. You know, for a full party.
Crazy. Yeah, we'd go out of old Kent Carlson's lodge over on 82, and man, we'd go out there and we'd have sometimes three and sometimes five boats running, and we'd go out there and catch 100 a boat. We'd have three customers and us. And limit was 25 apiece. And, oh, good grief!
That's a pile.
We have a mountain of fish in the cleaning shed. Oh, goodness gracious. Just think about that. And I don't guess there'd be any fish left if we kept doing that.
Well, they always come back. I mean, you know, everybody says that. Well, no wonder we don't have any fish now. Well, I mean, a trout only lives 6, 8, 10 years max.
I mean, yeah.
Now, redfish, they'll live 40 and 50 years. It's a different deal there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just crazy.
I remember the old time ago, what do you boys want to save these fish for? All of, we're going to get one freeze through here and kill all of them anyway.
You know, that did happen. They were kind of right.
Kind of right.
Trout are prolific. You take one good spawn to stack them up for the next couple of 3 years. And that can happen at any time. You just let them get, you know, where they don't get caught, and they lay many, many eggs.
Oh, they do. I remember that Christmas freeze we had in '83. Came in on Christmas Eve, and it never got above freezing for 12 days. And we had so many fish when that freeze hit. And even if we lost half of them, we still had millions left. I mean, I couldn't believe how good 84 was the following year. We thought, man, there's not going to be any fish left. All the dead fish we were seeing. We were wrong about that. We didn't know how many fish we had. There were so many of them.
Yeah.
Now,
I think
a freeze like that hit the Texas coast, it'd wipe everything out.
Yeah, it's like you always say, it's more environmental. It's other things, other factors.
Habitat and environment. That's
right.
Those two issues right there. You know, you see these commercials with conservation groups and everything else about rebuilding reefs in Galveston Bay. I mean, they put out a 1 acre reef, and all that is a Band-Aid. I mean, compared to what we had. When you lose 80% of your substrate, you know, your live oysters, that's killer. That's tons of habitat just gone. And that's just the oysters we're counting. We're not even talking about the Orangia clam beds and all that like you have over there, too. Boy, them clam beds, them clam humps. Son, I have poured the coals of some big trout on top of those in the back of Trinity back in the day. Just one little clamshell dome sitting out there, and you'd throw to it wade fishing, and then big trout would pile up on top of that like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of our clams are the beds. You don't really have humps anymore.
No.
It's flattened out.
Well, they died off with those floods.
Yeah, they did. And they're pretty well freshwater tolerant. But not like what we got.
Man,
if you've got enough flood water, it'll kill them too. I mean, they're still out there, but they're not in the numbers that they were. And, you know, you did have clamshell humps, actually.
Well, that's kind of like, over around Garrison's, where we'd wade that stretch between the bayou and Garrison's Ridge and that whole flat there.
Yeah.
We were throwing, corkies and topwaters out over those clam beds on that drop-off. Man, them big trout to stack up on that, same way back at Sydney and Stutes and rabbits and coffee ground.
Yep.
I mean, there was, you ever found those clam beds and you had the structure, you didn't really have to key on the bait as long as the water was good.
And, that's right.
You knew where the structure was, and it was a perfect setup to throw to. You could work it either way, out of the boat or wade fishing. Either one was just as good as the other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, buddy. And we used to have black drum, and I'm talking puppy drum down, anywhere from 12 inches up to about 22 inches. Those and the redfish would get together on those clam beds.
Oh, yeah.
And just I mean, you could go down there and throw a dead shrimp on a Carolina rig and just whack them during the, you know, fall, especially during December and January.
Right.
When they'd all come out of the marsh on those low tides. You could just ease the boat up to the bank and run it up. We'd run the nose of the boat up on the shoreline and just stop right there on those clamshell beds. And you could do that in any of a number of places up and down that whole Louisiana shoreline. And, you know, it's still there, but it's not as prolific as it used to be.
Exactly.
But we do have a lot of black drum in Sabine Lake.
Well, that's good. That shows you're coming back. It's a healthy system. I mean, you know, a trout's a member of the drum family, just like croaker, redfish, and drum, and trout. They're all in the same family. And they pretty much kind of run together at times. Boy, we used to find those big herds of fish. You'd find those big schools in open water on their slicks and mud boils. You'd have everything in there. You know, from big croakers to giant bull drum, redfish, trout, and even the old prolific gaff top, you know, in the summer months would be mixed in there with them.
Yeah, those stinking things. that's my nemesis right there. But when you're bored and not catching much, and one of them about 4 pounds gets on there, well, that at least breaks the doldrums. You know,
yeah, breaks up the monotony of not getting any bites, and it perks everybody up. The old pinch hitter.
Yeah, it makes you fish a little bit better.
Yeah,
and get excited to think.
Getting bites is what it's all about, man. The tug's a drug, brother.
The tug is the drug. You said that just right.
That's
why
I had
we
a
go
group
fishing.
One day. We got in a school of gaff top off the ship channel. They had no clue what I was trying to do, working slicks in that current and wind and everything. And we had a big old pile of gaffies, and they go, "You're not going to put the anchor out?" I said, "On these? Oh, this is fun, man." I said, "Well, fun for y'all reeling them in, but I'm the one having to take all these off. Look at my boat already. It's destroyed." I said, "Let's pull out of here." And I trolled her back around. I got to the front of that school, and I hit that water trout and then slid the hook out. And they go, "Oh, now we know what you were looking for." Yeah. Duh.
That's it. Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's not to say that gaff top are not good eating fish. If you clean them right.
Boy, these are really beautiful trouts. They called them trouts. They weren't trout. Around here. They were from up north.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's...
Trouts.
Yep. I know what you're saying. I do not like to clean gaff top. I don't like to put them in my ice chest.
I don't either.
But every once in a while, I get people say, "Hey, are those good to eat?" Yeah, they are. I just don't like to handle them. I said, "Well, can we keep a couple, three to kind of give them a comparison test against the trout and reds?" "Yeah, sure. I'll put you a couple, three and a couple of big ones." And I just fillet them from the rib cage to the tail and then cut that red streak in the middle of the meat.
Right.
Cut that out, and you got two pretty white tubes of meat. And I've had people say we prefer the gaff top over the trout. Not for the life of me, can't figure that out. But you know, different people have different tastes, and so I do clean a few every once in a while just to let people try them out. But I tell them right up front, I ain't focusing on this stuff. This is not what I'm out here to do. I'm pretty much a trout and redfish flounder purist.
Probably the nastiest thing I ever seen. Blaine and I were pre-fishing for a redfish tournament down in Rockport. We put in and we fished around, and Blaine caught a few trout. Said, "Man, let's keep some trout." So we kept a few, and we came in and we got to the cleaning table there where we had put in, and there was a group ahead of us, and three guys were carrying this big 150-quart igloo. And, I mean, they were straining. They carried it up there to the table. We thought, boy, they ripped them a new one today, buddy. They got some fish in that box. Well, they popped a lid on that box, and it was all gaff top all the way to the top. They had, and they started cleaning those, and I was looking at the slime on the edges of that gaff, that cooler, and that gaff top slime had to be an inch thick all the way around that cooler. I said, boy, y'all better get that rinsed out pretty quick before that hardens. You might as well throw that cooler away. But that was, that's the most snot I'd ever seen in an ice chest in my entire life.
Yeah, that's bad. That's really bad. Oh.
I felt sorry for the guy having to clean all those, but he shouldn't have kept that many. That's what they went for.
Oh. That's like fishing for sheephead. Oh, man.
Rough fish.
But they taste good, I have to admit.
They do. They're edible. Well, every fish out there is edible if you want to mess with it.
Yeah. Except the hard head.
Well, yeah, it's, man's got to know his limitations. He's got to draw the line somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, I figure if you fried Jeff a mess of those, you'd throw it out in the backyard.
Yeah, throw the pot away.
Oh,
all right, man. Buddy. Well, Bill, enjoy the day. It's going to kind of get nasty this afternoon and tonight, so... Enjoy what you got left, you know, as far as that goes.
Right.
Well, if somebody wants to call you about coming over and hooking up with you and fishing Sabine Lake, how they get a hold of you, bud?
409-673-9211.
All right, buddy.
Yep.
Well, Bill, you have a good day. I'll talk to you Saturday, and thanks for the conversation. Enjoyed it.
You bet.
Later, man. All right. It's 4:35 here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:40 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Conroe now. Let's check in with our good friend, the fish dude, Richard Tosh. Good morning, Richard. What's up, bud?
How's it going this morning, Mickey?
Going good. I saw that picture of your finger.
I hear you.
What'd they put in there? Titanium alloy? Like Lucha Man's legs?
That's it. They did a titanium plate and 8 screws, so it's all good. Here before long, I'll be right back in the game, so that's what matters. You know,
so when did you have that done?
Day before yesterday, Tuesday.
It hurt?
So it's like, oh yeah, it hurt like heck that day. But that, you know, it's all right now. They got so dang braced up and everything. I can't
don't
do nothing
it.
With it. No, I guarantee you. That's one of the main things. You know, that's what kept happening. You know, since it all happened in October, and I kept re-breaking the dang thing, and just because I wouldn't quit using it, and it's hard to keep from using when you're out there fishing and stuff. But
yeah, it is.
You know, I just.
Your index finger?
Yes, left index. So it's
man.
You know, yeah, it just gets in the way all the dang time. But that's all right. Now it's bigger and better. That's the way I look at it. So yeah, we'll get it all done here pretty quick and be right back in the game. So I'm just glad. I mean, glad to get this dang thing fixed because it's been so crooked for so long. Now, I can't even tell if it straightened it out any at all, but it looks like in the picture it did. So
yeah,
that's all I can say, because that's all I've seen of it is just that picture since they did all the cutting and screwing and all that junk to it. So we're all good. That's the main thing. Just get over it and get back in the game. I'm ready. But I can't stay out that dang long. You know that.
Well, you just take care of it and get it right before you mess it up, man. Do what the doctor says.
Well, I'm going to do a little bit.
I got friends that pull stuff like that and go through all that, and they won't do what the doctor says, and they end up right back in there getting it redone again and getting chewed out.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try not to do that. I'm going to try to stay off of it, as away from everything as much as I can. But I'm headed to Mexico at the end of the month to go tuna fishing again. So it's,
that ought to do it.
Yeah. I know. That's the thing. So, and it's one of them things where, dang it, I'm not going to miss out, and I got some buddies I'm going with, so maybe I'll make them pull on most of them, but hopefully I'll be back in the game enough where I can pull on them a little bit, you know. That's the main thing. So, and it's all good. Just, I want to get down there because them big old tuna are running down there right now, and I want to play tug of war with one of them at least. So that's one of the main things. So far, that's where my big tuna came from, and I want to get another one. They talk about them 400-pound yellow fins over there. I'd like to see one. I want to see one of them. Them rascals, I guarantee you get one like that, he's gonna pull on you for a little bit.
Yeah, I'd like to watch somebody else reel one of those in.
Yeah, well, see, it won't hurt my feelings because this messed up finger, I may have a few minutes on one of them and then hand it off because there'll be three of us out there pulling on them anyway. So that's a good thing. So last time we had it 275, it took an hour and 10 to get it in and three people. So it's, it's one of them things.
Y'all traded off, huh?
Oh, yeah. There ain't no doubt.
Take a real man to put a 275 in a boat all to himself.
I guarantee, especially when, now, if you had it on here where you had the rod and the gunnel, it's different. But when you're stand up and you ain't.
Stand up, it's a whole different game.
Yes, I guarantee you. Stand up pulling on them rascals, I guarantee you. After when I had about 35 minutes on him myself, and after that 35 minutes, I told them buddies, I said, if somebody don't come grab this rod, he can have the whole thing because I'm fixing to send it in with him because I'm done. I mean, they will burn. They will burn you up. I guarantee you. That's one thing about them. But it's, you know, that's what I like. I like to find that. I've always, you know, my whole life, I've always wanted to find that fish that would make me lay a fishing pole down and say, I've had enough. I don't want no more. And that's one of them, along with the amberjack. A big amberjack will do the same thing to you. I mean, they will wear you out. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things where I've always liked that challenge of how much and how big and how, you know, how far can I push myself? And, you know, I know I can outdo that fish no matter how big it is, but it's at a certain point, especially stand-up fishing like that, it's like, good night, man. You just can't do it. I mean, no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are, you cannot pull those big things in because they're just so powerful. I mean, especially those tuna, they're just a solid muscle mass is all they are, and they know how to use every ounce of it. So that's why I like doing it. But, you know, that's just me, and I hadn't been in a little while. You know, we did that August trip over there at Cocodrie and got just a couple of yellowfin. You know, they were only 60s, stuff like that, 50s and 60s. And then had, you know, snapper and some scamp grouper and a whole bunch of blackfin. But blackfin are totally different. I mean, they're just little – they're little vibrators is what they are. You drop down there and look into one of them and they just go to pumping away. And I mean, it's like, good night. You just a little sung and slow down a little bit because they will not slow down at all. But you keep, I think we jerked in 48 of them is what we kept. So it's, you know, we probably threw a whole bunch more. I know we threw a bunch more than that back because them deckhands kept saying, oh, those are trash fish. No, they're not. We're going to keep them. Yeah, I mean, take those little black fins, and I smoke them on the grill, and then just make like a tuna salad out of them. Get some jalapeno relish and a little mayonnaise. After you smoke those tuna like that, man, they're good on a Ritz cracker. So you can't beat them little things. Now, as far as something like that, but when it comes to yellowfin, it's all about sashimi and stuff like that. So it's all good. I'm all good with any of it. It don't matter. And then you can throw it on the grill and do whatever. I mean, good night. I like tuna. That's just fighting them, eating them. It doesn't matter. I love them. So that's one of my addictions right there is getting out there catching those dang things. But And I'd always been going down to Venice trying to catch me one over 100. Never could get one over 100 down there. I just always show up at the wrong time.
That's a good place to do it, too. You just got to hit it right, you know?
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, my biggest down there in Venice was 92. So it's, you know, that was
out of 100.
I guarantee you, but it still didn't break it. And then got over there to Puerto Vallarta and got that 275. And I mean, that was the very first one. I guarantee you, that was the very first one we hooked into also. And sitting there fighting it with about a 10-foot long sailfish jumping on another line. It's like, goodness, fish everywhere.
There you go.
You know.
I got to run if somebody wants to get weedy when that finger gets all daubed up. Get on some of them hybrids and do some winching on them. How do they get a hold of you, Richard? Give them some info.
All right, Mickey. Anybody can get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm glad you got your finger fixed.
Yep, I am too.
Time to roll.
It just needs to get better. All right, Mickey, y'all have
fun.
Thanks,
Richard. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Later. Bye. All right, that's the fish dude up on Lake Conroe. Let's run down Matagorda way now and check in with Captain Charlie P. Charlie, good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, man. Well,
I'm nice and warm. I'm not doing
toasty?
Anything stupid. I'm not doing anything stupid like I used to.
I'm with you. I'm just not that mad at him anymore.
Man, I could lay here and think of story after story, the crazy stuff I did in my lifetime.
Well, let's hear about it. Let's hear one of your crazy
I wouldn't stuff. Trade some of those experiences, but no more. No
right.
more. You know, those Port Lavaca, that Alcoa plant, I mean, the fish we took out of that area and
right.
conditions like this were just unbelievable. That's back in the 70s with no limits.
Right.
Crazy trips. But
full of aluminum oxide.
Yeah.
Aluminium.
Well, yeah, and there they are, oyster right outside of that. I mean, that's where all the oysters come from now.
You know, those waters were closed for fish consumption forever. I guess they still are. I don't know.
I think so. I think they closed them some years ago.
I remember all the hoopla about that.
I remember we had one trip. We caught, I think, 268, and there wasn't no pencils. Jim Riley was with us.
Oh, Jim Riley.
We were back in one of those canals, and we watched a shrimp boat back up to that canal, the one next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And dropped their nets, and they had so many fish they almost sunk the boat.
Wow.
And we're there catching them every cast in a mirror lure right across from them. Oh, God.
You know, I remember those shrimpers back then, they'd drag what they'd call a ballerina net instead of a regular shrimp net.
It
had a big old mouth on it and smaller doors, and it opened up, and they could pull it fast, and they'd just fill them up with trout.
Yeah, that's what this one was doing.
Yeah.
It was crazy. That was something else. But those days were over with. Army hole, God.
Yeah.
Make that trip down there just to catch redfish. Catch 100 of them.
Remember when it'd get cold, all the old-timers, that office was their hole to go.
Oh, yeah. Trips in the office, too, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, we got
Farmers
to, you know,
Point,
here
Blue
in Matagorda, we've got
Long Reef.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got the Colorado River here in Matagorda, and you could do the same thing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's full of fish. I haven't heard of anybody going yesterday. I know one of the guys went to the Colorado River and had no problem catching them, and another three of them went to the diversionary canal and checked several redfish spots out, and they caught a few, but it wasn't no killer trip.
Yeah.
They couldn't wait to get back to the truck to warm up.
I bet they couldn't. Well, you put a little rain on that with these temperatures and wind, that'd be some miserable fishing.
Yeah. They said the water temperature was in the 40s. I can't believe that.
Eagle Point's 40-something this morning.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me look at it again and see what the revised one is here. It's showing 48 degrees, Eagle Point, water temp. Galveston Channel, you know, that's why those fish stack up in these hard freezes like they do. Galveston Channel showing 57. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Morgan's Point, it's hard to get a read off that. That's not like a bay temperature because it's right next to the ship channel. It's 54. So I'm sure, you know, like Tabs Bay and some of those upper bays there, they're in the 40s also.
Well, so we've got to worry about these fish, especially on the east end of the bay, of East Bay.
Yes.
Going into that intercoastal. And then you worry about all this barge traffic and what that could do.
Yes.
But, you know, I fished those 3 days prior to this thing, and I cleaned a lot of fish, and there was nothing in their bellies. Normally, you know, when they know something's coming like this, they're gorging. Their bellies were empty.
So, I know 2 days before this front, everybody smoked them.
Yeah. The day before, they wouldn't eat, Mickey. I was out there. We waited some of our prime spots, and I think we caught 5 trout and 2 reds.
Yeah.
They were probably going to eat when that front hit, you know, and that was right at dark.
You know, and that, we've seen that a million times. Usually 2 days before the front's a big bite where they load up pretty good, and they try to get a big mullet to hold. And if not, there's a big bite right when the pressure changes, right when the front hits.
Oh, yeah, they'd be jumping out of the water everywhere.
Yeah, birds working, fish jumping out of the water. Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes, sir. So, I think we'll be okay over here, though. We've still got plenty of fish.
Yeah, this
we'll try to look at it Sunday. I think we got a warm-up this weekend, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I think Sunday we'll hit the 60s. That'll be very nice and welcome. I've had enough of these 40s and northeast winds cutting you in half. That ain't no fun, man.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Cold hands, cold ears, and cold feet.
Yeah. We had to snow that one year. It snowed 12 inches. And
I remember that.
Remember that? 4 inches in Matagorda.
Right. Rockport got 12 inches.
I found those redfish in the intercoastal, and there was 8 guides out there that day, and I got all of them over there. We caught over 1,200 redfish there in the intercoastal.
That's what you call a stack of right there, buddy.
I'm telling you. Telling you.
All right, man. Well, I figured I'd call you and check your pulse this morning, Charlie. You're still kicking like
yes,
a kicker.
Sir.
Somebody wants to cut a weight or pop a drift with you, give them a number how they can get a hold of you, man.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Charlie, have a good day. Stay warm, man.
Take care, Mickey.
Later. All right. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.